Our first reading from the Word of God this morning is taken from the book of Jeremiah, chapter 1, beginning with verse 4. Text will also serve as a basis for the message a little bit later. The word of the Lord came to me, saying, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. I appointed you as a prophet to the nations." "Ah, sovereign Lord," I said, "I do not know how to speak. I am only a child." But the Lord said to me, "Do not say, 'I am only a child.' You must go to everyone I send you to and say, 'Whatever I command you.' Do not be afraid of them, for I am with you, and I will rescue you, declares the Lord." Then the Lord reached out his hand and touched my mouth and said to me, "Now I have put my words in your mouth. See, today I appoint you over nations and kingdoms to uproot and tear down, to destroy and overthrow, to build and to plant." This is the gospel of the Lord. Please be seated. Good morning, Emmanuel. It's wonderful to be here to share God's word with you this morning. According to one definition, an excuse is the reason you give in order to explain why something was done or why something was not done. Another more simpler explanation I came across of a definition of an excuse is given in order to avoid doing something. Avoid doing something. Now, does that sound at all familiar to any of you this morning? It should, because it's part of our human nature to make excuses, is it not? Even if we don't like to admit it to one another, we have all made excuses. You can't journey through this life without doing it a few times. In fact, when we open up the sacred scriptures, when we open up the Word of God, when we open up the Bible, we don't have to venture very far at all, do we, to find some of God's chosen people making excuses before the Lord. This morning, I'd like to take a few minutes to look at the prophet Jeremiah, who is one such prophet who is an example of one who made excuses. God came to Jeremiah when he was just a young man, a teenager. And the Lord said to him, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. I appointed you as a prophet to the nations." To the nations. But notice Jeremiah's response. Immediately, I might add, an immediate response. "But Lord," Jeremiah said, "I don't know how to speak." That was his first excuse. And then there was a second. I'm only a youth. I'm only a lad. I'm just a young man, Lord. Get someone else. Yet in the end, we know, Jeremiah became one of God's greatest prophets, and he did as the Lord said he would do. He would go out and build and tear down with the nations through the preaching of the Word of God, as our text points out. As we think about it, God knew Jeremiah before Jeremiah knew himself, of course, and God knew what Jeremiah was going to say. God knew that Jeremiah was going to give him those two excuses, "I can't speak, I'm only a youth," before he spoke it out loud. God knew all about Jeremiah. God said to Jeremiah again, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. I appointed you." God had a plan for Jeremiah before he was born. Now, this text, along with many other texts, tells us that in the eyes of God, His creation is very important to Him. He created each one of us. He knit us together in our mother's womb. And He has a plan for each and every person He creates. He is the designer of every human being. And we can find this in many other passages where God informs us that he is the creator of our inward being, and he knows us. His creation is not something that's cheap and should be discarded if it's not wanted. No, Jeremiah was created for a purpose, just as each and every one of us are created for a purpose. He was chosen by God before his birth. He was set apart. He was consecrated. He was blessed by God. And we find other examples of this as well. Remember John the Baptist? He's the only person in Scripture that I can find who is born with the Holy Spirit. God had a plan for him. And of course, we read about many other people in Scripture where God had a plan for as well. And in the difficult days, the hard days that would lie ahead for Jeremiah, when he would be persecuted because of speaking the word of God, he would remember his calling, and it would bring him comfort and an awareness that he was serving the Lord, and the Lord would fulfill what he said, that he would be with him always. It would be important for him to remember his calling. The Lord set him apart to be a prophet, not just to Israel, but literally to the nations as well. God used him in a mighty way, and his book informs us of how God used him to proclaim the word of the Lord to many people and nations. Jeremiah joins the ranks, I guess we could say, of a host of others who were just ordinary people, common people, yet who were called by God, and to leave their everyday vocations to speak his word to his people. Let's think of a few examples. Remember Moses, he was watching his father-in-law's flock of sheep. Or Gideon, he was threshing his wheat. Or Amos was simply out there cultivating his fig trees. And who can forget, of course, in the New Testament, Peter, James, and John, and the rest of the disciples, ordinary men, fishermen, but yet called by God for a distinctive purpose. God had a plan for them. Young Jeremiah was also chosen by God, set apart, appointed by God to be a messenger for God, to speak his word. The Lord said, I will put my spirit in you, and I will speak through you my word. Jeremiah was filled with the Spirit of God, which enabled him to do just that. I can't help but also remember the words of Jesus when he said to his disciples, you did not choose me, but I chose you and I appointed you. God is in the business of calling his people into service. And just as God came in grace to Jeremiah and called him to be a prophet to the nations, so also he has come to each one of us this morning. Ordinary people, common people. Sometimes we look at our lives, I don't have many skills, Lord. I don't know how to speak, Lord. But God calls us in some capacity and wants to use us in some purpose. Through his grace, he comes to us and he gives us a new identity. He gives us a brand new life. Remember, Jesus said, I came to give life and to give it abundantly. All of us in Christ have the abundant life that Jesus came to give and to bring. And he's given us a new responsibility also to be the light and salt of the world, to declare his glory to all people. God brought this all about through the simple waters of holy baptism when we were baptized as an infant. The water and the word together is mightily powerful. God's Spirit is given, the forgiveness of sin is given, and power is given to live for God. For some who may have heard the word of the Lord later in life, before they were baptized as an infant, they came to faith through the word of God and then were baptized. You remember the Ethiopian eunuch, an adult reading the scriptures, trying to figure out what it was saying, and Philip came to him. God sent Philip to him and explained to him the book of Isaiah that was speaking of Jesus. And once the Ethiopian eunuch came to faith, he said, "What prevents me from being baptized?" The word of God convicted him to be baptized. But also the word of God comes to us through baptism and creates faith. As Scripture reminds us, "For by grace you've been saved through faith. This is not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not the result of works, so that no one can boast." And then it goes on and says, "We are God's workmanship, created in Christ to do good works." The Holy Spirit works in us to do good works. It's a constant thank you to God, done by the Spirit of God at work in us. That Spirit worked in the life of Jeremiah. So also he has given us that new responsibility as his chosen people. God has called us to be his disciples, to speak his word of comfort to those who are in need, to demonstrate God's love through acts of kindness, and to show it, and to tell others the good news, the great news, the best news that anyone could possibly hear or dream of hearing, that God so loved the world that he sent his one and only Son into the world to be our Savior. And we can share that news. We can be witnesses of that news to Christ wherever we may find ourselves, busy at work, studying at school, simply being at home talking to one's family, or wherever the Lord sends us, even speaking to strangers. That sounds like a plan. Sounds like God's plan, is it not? God's plan for us. Peter summed it up best. Inspired by the Spirit, he wrote these words. Words about each one of us. Words that bring joy to our hearts. Words that make us feel so blessed by the Lord. Peter said, "You are a chosen race. You are God's own people, chosen to proclaim the wonderful acts of God who called you out of darkness, out of sin, into his marvelous light, to bask in the forgiveness that Christ won for us." Jesus tells us in Acts 1:8, "You will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria." And then he was thinking of us all the way over here in Clovis, California, to the ends of the world. We're part of that commission. We've been commissioned by God in a way just like Jeremiah to share our faith. And it all sounds wonderful, it all sounds great, but then it starts settling into our minds, and sometimes our response comes down to be like Jeremiah in our text this morning. "Lord, wait a minute, you're calling the wrong person here. There has to be someone more qualified than me, someone more skilled, someone with better language ability to speak your word." Isn't that what Jeremiah did, exactly what he did? No sooner had Jeremiah been told that he was chosen for a special job by God than he blurts out, "Who, me? Who, me, Lord? I can't speak. Who, me, Lord? I'm just too young." But we remember that Jeremiah was not alone in his objection either. Remember when God spoke to him at the burning bush? How Moses makes basically the same kind of excuse as Jeremiah when he said, "Well, how can I go to Pharaoh? I don't know how to speak. I don't know what I'm going to say." And Gideon was told by God to lead an army to destroy the enemy that was living in their land. And his excuse was, "Lord, I'm kind of a nobody. Nobody knows me, and I'm least in my clan." Likewise, Jeremiah felt totally inadequate to be a messenger of God. "I'm too young. No one will listen to me." But for the Lord, youth and inexperience are not an excuse to be called by him and to be used by him in sharing the message of God. In my former congregation, I remember calling members at times about serving within the church. Maybe it was on the church council, being an elder, vice president, president, things like that, or trustee, or maybe teaching Sunday school or helping out with Vacation Bible School or some other part of our ministry where we needed people. And sometimes, not always, there was a reluctance at the other side of the phone call, or maybe the other side of the conversation at church in their voice. They felt they were unqualified. They didn't feel they had the experience. But I would remind them of God's promise, the promise that God gave also to Jeremiah, that the Lord would be with him and not to be afraid. He would help them along the way. And suddenly, there would be an end to that reluctance, an end to that hesitation, and they would give an affirmation, yes, I would be willing to serve. And I can tell you that the Lord gave them the ability that they needed, even if they thought they didn't have the ability to carry out that particular job. God blessed them and showed them something that He can use anyone, even when we think that we don't have the ability to serve in a particular capacity. Again, with the words of Jeremiah, do not be afraid, I will be with you. We can share our faith in our great God who gave His Son to die for us on the cross to forgive all of our sins. Our great God who raised His Son from the dead on the third day. That forgiveness Jesus won for us on the cross through His innocent suffering and death covers also all the times, the many times that I have failed or you have failed to lend a helping hand to someone. That covers all the times maybe when we fail to share a kind word that we confess this morning. Or to give testimony to our risen Savior. When you hesitate in serving, wondering what possibly you can do, remember what the Lord said to Jeremiah. Or Jeremiah said, Ah, Sovereign Lord, I do not know how to speak. I'm only a youth. But then comes the words of the Lord to Jeremiah. Do not be afraid. I will be with you. I will rescue you, declares the Lord. You see, that has not changed. That has not changed for any of us. We are all God's people, and He speaks those very words to us today. I will be with you. Think about it. If God can use Jeremiah, this young man, if He can use Moses, if He can use Gideon, the least of his clan, if He can use Peter and James and John, simple fishermen, and many other people we could point to in Scripture, He can also use each one of us today and every day until He calls us to eternal glory to be with Him in heaven. So the Lord today challenges us, as He challenged Jeremiah, to be witnesses for Him. And let's remember, too, the Lord has given us His Spirit in the waters of baptism to strengthen us. And He promises to equip us for the task, whatever task it might be. Now, some of you this morning might reflect upon your life and remember there were times when you didn't think you had the ability to do something, when you were called to ask to help out in some way, and then you responded reluctantly, but you did it. But God blessed you and showed you that He would help you along the way and give you the talent and the ability. God helps us, His people, to do things from the least of things to the greatest of things, to be, as Jeremiah was, a prophet to the nation. That's why we have the example of Jeremiah in Scripture. Think about it. The example of Jeremiah is there for a purpose for us here this morning. The example that He gives us of Moses, of Gideon, of Peter, James, and John, and the disciples, to show us that when God calls us to do something, He will help us carry it out and accomplish it. What a great God we have, who demonstrates in our weakness His great power and His great might and how He uses us. The Word of Almighty God speaks again to our hearts here this morning. And He says to our hearts this morning, do not be afraid, I will be with you. What wonderful news that is for each one of us. And this is not only when we witness for Christ. This is not only when we serve in the church. This is not only when we're out in the community talking to people. It's also the promise for every single other aspect of our lives. That means during all the ups and downs of life, all of the struggles we have, all of the challenges we might face, all of the temptations that might be out there as well. God is with us and will never forsake us. And also God is with us in the joys that he brings to our life, a new day, and all the blessings that we experience. I will be with you, declares the Lord. He has given us his Spirit in the waters of holy baptism and made us part of his family. We are that royal priesthood, that holy nation, that people that belong to the Lord God. We celebrate that when we gather for worship, when we come together as God's people. We celebrate our oneness among the diversity, our oneness in Christ. And he strengthens us in his service through the sacrament of Holy Communion when he gives us his body and his blood to strengthen us in our faith and assure us of that grace and forgiveness. And he equips us with that all-powerful word of God when we go out and speak his word to people, knowing that that word will not return to the Lord void, but will accomplish its purpose. And Jesus gives us that one final promise. Lo, I am with you always, to the end of the age. The promises of God are given to us today. We celebrate all of the promises. There are hundreds, if not thousands, found in Scripture. We are people blessed by the Lord, blessed by Jesus our Savior. Blessed to know that God is with us each and every day of our life. May we share that wonderful news with those in need, those who are struggling in their lives, those that you might be aware of in your heart or in your mind today, those you might be praying for, that they may know the Lord Jesus and his great abiding love for them. In his most holy name, amen. And now may the peace of Almighty God, which truly transcends all human understanding, keep and guard our hearts and our minds in faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Please rise as we continue the service, as we bring our prayers and petitions before our Lord. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we come before you and we give you thanks, Lord, that you, in your great wisdom and mercy and love, have deemed to call us to be part of your very own family, your very own people, through your Son, Jesus Christ, who has washed away our sins, who has filled us with his Spirit, and has given us your holy word to speak. Bless us as your people wherever the church gathers together this day, throughout the world and here also. Give us the abilities and the talents and the gifts needed to carry out your work within this community, within this church, within our homes, and to speak of your love to those who are brokenhearted and in need of hearing that wonderful reconciliation we have through Christ Jesus. Lord, in your mercy, continue to bless your church and your people. Lead us to your holy word to study the scriptures where that special wisdom from on high is given, faith and salvation as well. Lord, in your mercy, we pray for all those in positions of authority over us, our president, our governor, and all others. Continue to guide and direct them, we pray, and especially lead them to your sacred scriptures where wisdom from on high is given to them as well as to us. Lord, in your mercy. Gracious Lord, we also pray for those serving in the armed forces, possibly those near and dear to us. Be with them, comfort them, protect them, and strengthen their faith in Jesus, knowing that he is with them always. Lord, in your mercy. Gracious Lord, we also pray for those who may be celebrating their wedding anniversaries this week or their birthdays this week within this family of God. Help us to be mindful that you give life to all people and that you provide those important blessings of family and relationships with us and life itself. Strengthen our faith and enable us to share our joy in you with those around us. Lord, in your mercy. And Father in heaven, we come before you with those in our hearts and minds this morning, those in need of strength and healing, of comfort, those who may be going through specific struggles. We lift them before you, Lord, and ask for your strength and healing to be given to them. And let them know of your peace and presence. And also those we lift up to you in our own hearts and minds this morning. Lord, in your mercy, we also pray for Pastor Ed and Karen that you'd be with them and safely bring them back to this congregation. They look forward to being here next Sunday, and as Pastor Kruger looks forward to sharing the Word of God, that powerful Word, to the people here. Lord, in your mercy. And Lord, we continue to lift up prayers for the people of Ridgecrest who continue to suffer from that earthquake. We ask that you would bless the people there, strengthen their faith, and enable those in need to receive that kind of help that they are needing. Also bless the Lutheran Church there as they find themselves in difficult situations. Strengthen the flock and other Christians living in that area, and use your church to bring comfort and hope to the people at this time in Ridgecrest. Lord, in your mercy. We also pray for the safe return of the youth from the youth gathering this week and ask you to bless them at that gathering, to strengthen their faith and to help them to meet new people and develop new relationships and to hear the amazing things that God is doing within other congregations. Lord, in your mercy. Amen.